Good afternoon and welcome. I'm Kirsten Todd, your coach here at Hooked on Running, and this is Ask the Coach. I've had, over the years of coaching, a few instances of people who I've coached online or perhaps in some of my face-to-face running groups who have also been under the instruction of a personal trainer. And I have had it happen a few times that they've assured me that yes, this trainer knew what they were doing and they were doing some very running specific exercises, and yes, they had covered the exercises that I had prescribed in their training program. Look, long story short, hasn't quite turned out that way on occasion. So I thought I might just run through some of the things that are important to know if you are going to engage a personal trainer. If you're in Sydney, you can engage me, but you may choose somebody else. So I just thought I'd run through what might be good to know. So the things that I would be looking for. Firstly, actually, let's just backtrack a little bit. When you start to run or start doing some more running training, your aerobic system, you're going to feel like you are fitter aerobically fairly quickly, and your musculoskeletal system might lag behind a bit, particularly tendons. So your muscles, like the sort of the belly of your muscles, going to get stronger more quickly, most likely, than your tendons, like where your muscles attach to bones, and that oftentimes can be where injuries occur. So whilst you might be feeling fitter aerobically, as I say, your musculoskeletal system can lag behind a bit, so you do need to do a bit of work on that. So you might be feeling 100% fine in the breathing department and feel like you could run forever, but if you do run forever too soon, you do risk an overuse injury just because those muscles and tendons are not going to get strong as quickly. So one of the things that obviously you want a strength training program to do is to get you stronger for running. So there's a couple of things. You want to be looking for someone who is not going to just whack you on some machines. And the reason you don't want to be only on machines, lifting weights, so for example, a leg press machine. The leg press machine, and as with most machines, they will give you this stability that would otherwise be provided by your body when you're running. So when you think about it, when you're running, you're always either in the air or on one leg. If you stand on one leg now, move your arms and your other leg around a little bit, you'll find it quite hard to balance, and you'll be working some of the smaller stabilizing muscles to stay upright. And that's basically what happens when you're running. Those smaller stabilizing muscles are working hard to keep you from falling on the ground, toppling over. Your prime movers obviously move your limbs, big muscles, but you do need those smaller ones for stability and to keep you to keep your posture good. And strong, and to help to prevent injury particularly. So if you are exclusively using machines such as, say, a leg press machine or some of the other whiz-bang machines that, that you'll find in gyms, you're not going to be strengthening up those stabilizing muscles. And I'm not saying that those machines don't have their place, but in a sort of a general running training strengthening program, you're better off to get onto either body weights, free weights, maybe some cable machines as quickly as possible. So one of the things you would need to be asking your trainer is, you're going to be using machinery very much. Don't say, I don't want to be using machinery. Just ask them kind of what their philosophy is. I would also be asking them how much experience they have training someone who is like you, so similar demographic. Or if you've got, for me, I would want someone who's got some experience training women over 50, or who has who has studied that demographic quite a lot and has good knowledge on how to train and how to program for someone of my age. Doesn't mean that it needs to be soft. It just needs to take into account, for example, probably greater recovery time than when I was 25. Or 35 or even 45. You know, those sorts of things take into account whether they've got experience training somebody like you, or you might have a chronic injury, for example. You might have, plantar fasciitis, and you might want to ask them if they've got any experience coping with that sort of an injury, or if not, like a chronic injury in general. I would also be asking them how they're going to progress you. So, for example, you might be doing some squats. Squats on two legs, great sort of exercise to start you off doing squats. But you need to know how they're going to progress you on from that. And if their answer is, you know, load you up with more weight to get you stronger, that's one way of doing it. But go back to what we were saying before, which was when you're running, you're either in the air or you've got one leg on the ground. So for me, I'd be wanting to get you onto a single leg squat pretty quickly, because that replicates far more closely what happens in running than doing a squat when you're on both legs, which where you're a lot more stable. Now, again, there might be circumstances where a squat standing on both legs is indicated for a while, but that's why you sort of you need to be asking how they're going to progress you on to bigger and better things. And if it's just simply by adding more weight, probably not, it wouldn't be my choice, put it that way. So for running, you want to be doing stuff that is functional as much as possible in an upright position, although there are some exercises I like to do which do involve you running lying down. So yeah, upright position, one-sided. It's also known as a unilateral. So that means that if it's on your leg, you're going to be improving your balance and working the stabilizing muscles that you use in running. Also, it prevents you from favoring one side. So if you're a lot stronger, say, on your left side than your right side in your quadriceps, hamstrings, glutes, whatever, you might be able to, say, mask that strength in balance doing a squat on both legs and really favor, can't remember now which leg I said was the weak leg, but you know, favor that weak leg when you're doing it and take a lot of the weight on your good leg. But if you're doing something like a single leg squat, that becomes very apparent, those strength imbalances. And one of the things you want to be doing in a strength training program is evening out those strength imbalances. Ideally, you'll get stronger in both sides, but if you've got quite a strength imbalance, you actually want to get that weaker leg up to where the stronger leg is before you then sort of start increasing the strength in both legs. Same with flexibility. You want to be have a similar amount of flexibility in both sides, similar amount of strength in both sides. And really the only way you can get that is by working one side at a time. You don't always need to be using weights. Some body weight exercises are pretty good. So, you know, it's not always about just lifting heavier and heavier. And also, if you are lifting heavy weights, you don't want to be in an environment which is highly competitive and this kind of, you know, high energy, highly competitive kind of group situation if you're starting to lift heavier weights, because you really need to concentrate on your form. You need to do things right. Otherwise, you really can injure yourself, especially if you're, say, lifting something about it. 4 to 8 RM, which just that RM means repetition max. So an 8 RM set just means you can do 8 repetitions and literally no more. That's a maximum number you could do, and then you'd fail. So if you're kind of lifting it at that end of the scale to get stronger, which you can do for running at certain times of your training cycle, you want to be concentrating. You don't want to be distracted by, you know, someone pushing you to go harder and higher and faster. And, you know, just with lots of distracting music and people jumping around all over the place. I know I'm sounding a little bit like a fuddy-duddy, but it is important that you concentrate on your form in those sort of lifting situations. So just to summarise, the things that I would be checking out if I were to be employing a trainer would be, like to train me, would be, have they got much experience training women over 50 who used to do a bit of exercise and be pretty strong and now are not quite as strong as they'd like to be? What's their philosophy on free weights versus machines, and how are they likely to progress me over the next few months? Like, what's kind of their overall plan? And just get a bit of insight into how they're thinking. And also, if they've got any experience with any, you know, injuries I might have. I've got a back injury, so I'd want to know what experience they have with managing back issues, and also maybe what experience they have working with a physio, if that's, you know, something that you need to happen. So hopefully that helped a little bit. Happy to have a chat with you if you are considering using a trainer. Obviously, if you're in Sydney, it would be good to use me, but if you're outside of Sydney, more than happy just to give you, you know, just to have a bit of a chat if you need help choosing someone. you'll find sometimes is people will sell the sizzle and there's not much sausage behind it. So you've got to get past the sizzle, take a look at their sausage, maybe, and just make sure there's some substance behind what they're telling you.